Welcome, everybody, to the Motive Podcast. This is Shaden Bertinoli, and we want to help you solve life's hardest problems here at Motive Academy. You can check out our online course on motiveacademy.com that'll help you to overcome and deal with difficult emotions, thoughts, and beliefs, and honestly, help you preserve your self-worth. So it's good to be here with you. I, as always, have a little bit of a feeling of where this could go, but I don't know. So about me a little bit, throughout my entire life, rejection has been something that was very, very difficult to deal with. And, you know, as a teenager, as somebody in junior high, I didn't deal with a lot of rejection. That's kind of the interesting thing is, you know, I did a lot of things that sadly were socially accept. I did a lot of things that were socially acceptable, like sports, and had good friends. And quite honestly, I had like an easy time in middle school and high school. But because of that, a lot of insecurities still remained because I didn't have to deal with a lot of rejection. So when it would happen, you know, it was a storm inside. If something small would happen of rejection from someone, you know, my mind would race and I'd get all these, you know, just tons of thoughts and it's never ended. That's something that's just always, it's still there. But it was always confusing for me for the longest time of why was rejection so, you know, why was it like this button, of this like rocket fuel inside of me that would ignite this obsession, right? This obsession of thoughts where, I'd ruminate and have these dialogues with the person that I was resenting or that had rejected me or that didn't invite me to something. Or, I mean, you know, the situations there's abundant and I'm sure you relate. And, so something that as I have studied attention deficit disorder, which I hate that phrase so bad. I love the idea of intention deficit disorder, but I don't even like the word disorder. Anyway, you get what I mean. As I've studied ADD, which is something that my brain is, if you will, I'll say it that way. I came upon this amazing article and that I'd never heard of before, but it was about this name, that there was a name of this thing called rejection sensitivity dysphoria, shortly known as RSD. And so as I read into it, I realized this is kind of a thing. And what rejection sensitivity dysphoria really is a heightened sense of anxiety and, you know, struggle with rejection. And so even a little bit of rejection can set someone off and send someone into like this like obsessive tizzy almost where the stomach hurts, you can't sleep at night, you're just always obsessing. Now don't get me wrong, does it require ADD to really struggle with rejection? Obviously, heck no, right? We all value at our deepest core of who we are, we value connection. That's why social media is the powerhouse that it is because of our love for people and our desire to connect. Without that, social media would be boring. And so, but there are those who struggle with rejection more than others. And sometimes it is a symptom, if you will, of a mind, of a brain that is, I would say, built in a different way to value connection more than others. And so when there is a break in that connection, then there's the alarm system goes off and that's what I'm talking about today. And so, whether you relate to this from an ADD level or just relate to it as a person who obviously loves people and has dealt with rejection before and then had those same symptoms go on where you just continue to think and think and think, and then it gets you into this anxious mess, welcome to the life, right? Welcome to the podcast. So we all have been there, and I want to try to help you to think about a couple things that you can do to help you, because I know so well how painful this is, right? And I actually in my personal life recently have just gone through another bout of this, if you will, where I jumped to my own conclusions and assumed things and got myself into a really wicked, if you will, like kind of darker hole with an individual. And it was all really, it was just all inconclusive evidence and things that I had put together as a puzzle in my head that sadly were not true. And it took a loving person to confront that in me and to really challenge that in me. And it happened to be that person that I was having a hard time with. And it changed everything, right? Because of the ability to see the truth. And so one thing I want to share with you, and this has been an adaptive skill, I think, that I've gained throughout my life to be able to deal with this in a better way. It's the skill is, I guess I don't necessarily have a name, but it's the principle is perspective. And I know I've said this before on the podcast, but remember, in every situation, you have an infinite array of perspectives you can take in everything you do and everything that happens to you. And so in the case of someone rejecting you and someone who maybe sends you an awful text or says something to you that's just so hurtful, you have a choice. Most of the time, people, you defend, right? Most of the time, your instinct is to defend yourself. And just like a schoolyard bully, when he tells you that your mom is fat and you tell him that no, she isn't, he knows he's winning, right? He is winning. And so whenever we begin to, when we go down that hole of constant self-defense, defense, we get into trouble. And we actually start to increase the rejection, if you will. You know, if Shelly says to me, "Shaden, you never listen to me," and I say, "Yes, I do. I listen to you all the time." I just defended myself, and what did I just do? I just confirmed the very thing she just said. And she now feels even more correct. She could look at me in the face and say, "See, you didn't even listen to me there." And then if I said, "Yes, I did," now we're in this battle because I'm defending myself, but yet I'm confirming everything she keeps saying. And every one of you that are listening does the same thing. In our own insecurity, we defend ourselves. Instead of securely, even if we're faking it, accepting what's being said with a grain of salt to actually be able to hear what they're saying and say, "You know what, Shelly, it sounds like I didn't hear you. What are you talking about? What's something I didn't hear, you know, from you in the recent past here?" And it's very likely she would then tell me. So as we are going through these things in our head, if you will, of defense, whether it's verbally or texting or on social media, you know, trying to defend yourself all the time, you know for a fact when all that's over, you're just going to build this huge resentment inside, and it's going to linger, and it's going to like cancer, it's going to hurt, like it's going to start taking other cells with it in your peace. And so the thing to do is take a deep breath. Okay, someone comes at you, someone says something to you, you feel rejected, right? Whether it's real rejection or assumed rejection, it really doesn't matter. You're going to take a huge breath. That's the hardest thing to do. And you're going to start to focus on that person in giving them the benefit of the doubt, but even creating a story for yourself that is going to give you peace. So again, remember, if there's an infinite amount of perspectives you can take in every situation, why choose the one that creates chaos? Why choose the one that debilitates? Why choose the one that takes away sleep? Why choose the one that distances you from feeling the peace of the Holy Ghost? Why choose the one that creates severe anger and can really damage relationships? And I know that you could be saying right now, "Well, Shaden, like you're telling me I should just take it?" In a lot of ways, I kind of am. And I'll explain that in a minute. Because when someone says this thing to you, when you feel that rejection, well, let's reverse it. I'm gonna go back. Let's reverse it. Let's say you say something dumb to somebody. Or let's say you say something truly just on purpose to hurt them. What would happen? if that person came to you in that very moment they said it and just looked you in the eyes and said, "Are you okay? Because that was really hurtful. So you must, something must be going on for you. What's going on?" What would that do to you? You're darn right. It would hold you 100% accountable. You wouldn't even know what to do, probably. Because in your lack of vulnerability with that person that you tried to hurt, they actually turned to vulnerability and said, "You can hurt me again if you need to. And human nature would actually stop you in most of the time and would invite you to be honest, to get more and more real. So flipping it back again, I know I'm all over the place, so sorry if I'm confusing you. I warned you in the beginning of this. But one thing I've learned is to create a story. Let's just say that it's something that happened that it's texting, or it's even like it happened to me. There wasn't a lot of like real outright rejection. It just is something that I misunderstood things and I took them in. And I think that's actually like what happens most of the time, is that we misunderstand something and then we take it in and we chew on it forever and turn it into something really bitter. And then we find more of it from that very person. Like we get this confirmation bias to like see, like we find more of how they act. We want to have evidence to justify ourselves. And that's what happened to me, and it will happen to you, and it already has. And so to choose though, to say, wait a minute here, this person must be having a bad day. This person really must, I wonder if they're just feeling really lonely. Or I wonder what's going on for them. Maybe I did something that really hurt them. And to start creating a story that way, I have found instantaneously, or not, I don't know, not always perfectly instantaneous, but like very quickly, my anxieties start to go down. They start to decrease. And it's just by looking at it from that new perspective of what it is that they're going through as a human being, and allowing yourself to see it. Allowing yourself to see them for the human that they probably really are, right? And even if they intentionally were hurting you, there is a human inside. And another skill you can tap into is to put yourself in their shoes and think about a time when you've treated someone similarly. And we're all human. And so there are times where you think, man, I've never treated somebody like that. And okay. But most of the time we can assume like what that person, that we've been there before. And this is where self-awareness is key, because if you can then look into yourself and say, what was going on for me when I did that? Was I just really lonely? Was I really hurt? You know, was I dealing with a lot of self-hate at that time? Did I have a secret that nobody knew that I was trying to protect, that I didn't want anybody to know? And so I was pushing people away. I don't care what it was, really. It's very likely that what it was human, was something that can be understood. And so when you allow yourself to stop defending, take a breath and see the person as human and give them a story through a perspective that is peaceful, that is actually kind and forgiving, you will notice that your sleep will get better, your ruminations will slow down, your ability to move forward will increase, you know, your ability to love them, to make eye contact with them the next time, to serve them will increase. In other words, it starts to break down the barrier that's created in you, that pride, you know, prideful barrier of resistance to them. And it allows things to start to change. And then a lot of the time, it takes away the fear that is in place that keeps you from confronting it. And so just think about it, right? If you have this monstrous story about this person for something that was actually a misunderstanding, which most of the time it is, your mind is built to protect you, and it's going to tell you to not confront that. It's going to tell you to avoid it because it seems so scary. The monster seems so big and so burly, and so you'll avoid it. But when you change your story, when you look at that person through the lens of love, through the lens of how you've been before, through the lens of a human being, of having their worst day maybe, now your brain sees them in something that you relate with because you're a human too, and your courage to confront the issue and confront the person will then increase. Am I saying you'll have perfect courage and amazing courage? No, but it'll increase. And if the goal is to have great and lasting relationships, those things need to be confronted. If your goal is to have acquaintances, then I guess you're probably doing a good job. But I know for me, and I think for all of you listening, you want to have deep and solid relationships the best you can. And so you have to be able to do this. So let's normalize a few things, right? It's normal for these situations that really take over your emotion and take over your thoughts and just dominate your mind a lot of the time to come from people that you love the most, people you care about the most. The people we care about most have the greatest impact, greatest opportunity to both love us and hurt us. So therefore, the people you connect to most, the deeper the connection is, the higher the sensitivity can be to rejection. And so the risk of those relationships dissolving based on a day's worth of thinking, like think about it. You've gone a day before where you just ripped the person to shreds in your head. You know for a fact. Well, times that by a week, times that by 2 weeks. I sound like Dwight Schrute. How about three? How about four? Right? You times that by a year. Many of you have relationships that you've been avoiding for a long time, and you've probably written a few libraries worth of books about why. And no offense, 95% of it's bullcrap. It's stuff that has no evidence. It's stuff that you've just believed in because it justifies you. And the stuff that is true, if you would actually confront it, you would find that person's either changed or might even be willing to admit it because you confronted it with love and would maybe just say, I'm sorry. And would probably be very sad that the relationship was distant for that long, based on something that small. Now, maybe it's something big. Maybe I just offended you and you're like, you know, forget you, Shade. I'm turning this off. Maybe it's something big. Okay, I'm not minimizing that. But at some point, it's got to be confronted. And if you wait for that person to confront it, how likely is it going to be to happen? Not very likely. So do you have enough love inside of you to see that person as human, to be able to confront it in a way that will create healing? If you don't have love for that person, then guess what? Confrontation's only going to create contention. It's just going to manifest more of what you already want to see. I promise. Third scenario is there's things that have happened that you might not ever get to confront. The person died. The person is gone. The person is someone you don't know. It's someone that did something that you'll never see again. And that's where your belief in a God is essential to be able to confront and give it over to Him through prayer and to say the things that could be said to that person to Him. Therapy is also where we do a lot of that. And I'm not trying to say I replace God, not ever. Here is where you can do that in a way that's healing in front of somebody else to hear you. And there's often times where I feel very much like I am the person that the person needs to confront. And I feel the anger and I feel the resentment. I feel all of it. And it's what's needed. It needs to be given a voice. And so I challenge you to don't wait another day. Trust me. I revealed in my last podcast or a couple of them, you know, I just lost my brother-in-law, and I had no ill will with him at all. But I can only imagine if I did, how difficult that could be. He's now gone. And my father was the same thing. I had no ill will with him, but you just never know. You never know. And not to mention, it takes mental energy to maintain distance and to maintain resentment with someone. I don't care how long it's been. That's where they say, right? Forgiveness is more about you than the other person. And that being the martyr of that person's sin, of being the martyr of that person's mistake, it only poisons you. And you deserve to be happy. You deserve to live now and to have freedom, rather than this loophole that Satan knows is inside of you that he can just mess with, that he can just play with whenever he wants to, just to get you riled up. So I promise it's on you, and you might not want to hear that, but the person may never change, and the person may never be different. But it doesn't mean that you can't see deeper into them beyond their behavior and see the heart of that person from the eyes of empathy, in my opinion, the eyes of God and the eyes of Christ. And that vision of them will create compassion enough for you to let them be. And sometimes that might be that there is some distance. Other times you'll realize it was just you, and that you would much rather accept their differences and have that person in your life than to need them to be a certain way because you can't handle it. And I promise it's worth it. I've been there many times in my life, and I'll probably do it again. But the hope is I now have a tool, and you now have a tool to turn to called empathy through perspective to create a peaceful vision of the human being that's in front of you. We'll see you next time.